This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on March 11, 2010. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning. The open session for Thursday, March 11, 2010 will now come to order. First item on the agenda is the approval of minutes for February 25th, 2010. Vice Chair, I understand we have a motion.
Thank you. I move approval of the minutes as contained in agenda document number 10-13.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 6-0. Next item on the agenda is draft advisory opinion 2010-02 submitted by the West Virginia Republican Party. We have a presentation by Mr. Joshua Bloom and from the Office of General Counsel. When ready, please begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The West Virginia Republican Party, a registered state committee of a political party, requested an advisory opinion, and you have before you agenda document number 10-14, which provides two possible responses, designated as Draft A and Draft B. The committee wishes to use non-federal funds in a building fund account, either to make payments on a lease with an option to buy an office building, or to make payments on a land sale contract for the purchase of that office building. The committee asks whether either proposal is permissible under the Act and Commission regulations. Draft A concludes that the committee must use an allocated mixture of federal and non-federal funds to make payments on the lease, and also that while in principle the committee may use the non-federal funds in the building account to purchase the building under a land sale contract, subject to state law, because the form of an actual contract is not available to the commission to examine, it cannot now determine whether the eventual contract will constitute a valid purchase under the Act and Commission regulations. Draft B concludes that the committee may use entirely non-federal funds, including its building fund account, to make payments on the lease, and may also use such funds to purchase the office building if it enters into a land sale contract subject to state law. We received no comments on the draft. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bloom. I understand that we may have a consensus around question two and the yes answer there that is set forth in draft A, but that with respect to question one, that we would instruct counsel that the commission is unable to be able to return an answer on that question, that we'd instruct counsel to add the appropriate language in the response to the requester. That's my understanding of where we are, that we'd have a single vote on that, but I would just ask my colleagues if that is their understanding as well. Are there any Vice Chair?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that reflects what my understanding is as well, and sounded a lot like a motion to me that I could simply officially move.
Ms. Smith.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would just note one thing that perhaps the motion ought to include a technical change as well. Question two does have a reference that says, as explained in the answer to question one, which I would suggest we would remove.
Okay. Thank you for that, for pointing our attention to that. Do we have a motion then?
Mr. Chairman, I approve the adoption of agenda document 10-14, draft A, with the following change: that question one shall be substituted to state that the commission is unable to provide an answer, and ask council to make any technical and conforming changes.
Thank you. Everyone understand the motion? Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 6-0. Thank you, Mr. Bloom. Next item on the agenda is the draft final rule in the Emily's List versus FEC matter, agenda document number 10-15. Vice Chair, I understand we have a late submitted. We have a. Go ahead, Mr. Bloom.
Oh, no, you have a late submitted document.
Okay. So, Vice Chair.
I move that we suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents so we may consider agenda document number 10-15.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 6-0. Mr. Blum, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before you, in agenda document number 10-15, are draft final rules that would implement the D.C. Circuit Court's decision in Emily's List versus the Federal Election Commission by removing sections 100.57, 106.6C, and 106.6F from the Commission's regulations. The Commission previously issued timely notice of its proposal to remove these sections to the public and received two comments, one of which was a statement from the Internal Revenue Service stating that the proposal did not conflict with any laws or regulations administered by the agency, and the second of which argued, in response to a Commission request for comments, that the removal of sections 106.6C and 106.6F should be made to apply to separate segregated funds as well as to non-connected committees. The draft final rules removing those sections apply both to SSFs and to non-connected committees. If the Commission approves this draft, the Office of the General Counsel seeks authority to make technical and conforming changes to the draft and will submit the draft with any technical and conforming changes for publication in the Federal Register. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Blum. Any discussion? Do we have a motion? Vice Chair?
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of agenda document 10-15, the final rules, and authorize counsel to make any technical conforming changes before they send them on to the Federal Register.
All right. Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Commissioner Hunter.
I'd just like to point out that the Commission intends to do a future rulemaking to in response to the Emily's List decision. This is what we viewed as the one that was a little bit more easy to do and get a consensus on and move the most obvious regulations off the books as quickly as possible. Thank you.
All right. Anything further? If not, we have a motion on the table. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 6-0. All right. The final item that's on the agenda, there's been a request to hold over any consideration or vote on the proposed interim policy, enforcement policy as set forth in agenda document number 10-16. So since we won't be considering that, I don't think we need to have any motion on a late submitted document, but is there any discussion on this item? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This provision has kind of a tortured history, and this attempt to codify or announce a policy has its own tortured history. And I appreciate the last version of this, which is the latest version of this is different from the one that I'd seen before, and we haven't had a lot of time to look at it, so I appreciate that we're going to hold it over any formal vote on it. It's a difficult issue, I think, for the Commission, because if you go back to the beginning, to the original statute that created the exemption to the limit, that is the volunteer materials exemption, it very specifically says that direct mail is not covered and it only applies to material that is distributed by volunteers. And obviously mail is not distributed by volunteers, it's distributed by postal carriers. But there is a long history of enforcement matters in which the Commission has been fairly permissive, shall we say, in its interpretation of those provisions. And I think it certainly would be inappropriate at this point to, without any notice, stop and unwind it all and say, hey, party committees, we've been letting you do this for the last 20 years, but now we just went back and double-checked the statute, and guess what? We don't really have authorization to do this. So, you know, I think people would justifiably howl if we tried to kind of pull the rug out from under them in that way. So I think one of the benefits of having a document out there and not voting on it right away is I think it would be useful, and I invite this for members of the public who are concerned with this issue and knowledgeable about this issue to submit comments to us on it before we vote on it at the next meeting. There's a few weeks before the next meeting. There also have been some helpful edits that were suggested at the last minute that, I don't know, maybe we'll talk about making another version public so that people could see what all is under consideration. I think everybody can agree with the original motivation, which was to encourage volunteer activity. And as has been pointed out, it's all stuff that's being done with hard money. The concern that I've had as it's come up in various enforcement matters is that sometimes it's hard to tell whether the volunteer involvement is really a substantial volunteer activity that, you know, is helpful in promoting volunteer activity, or whether it's the tail starts to wag the dog at some point where the volunteers are brought in to make some token effort at the end of a process that really is, you know, most efficiently carried out by a commercial mail house, and then you bring the volunteers in at the end, and they do something to bring it within the exemption. So that the point of it is not to encourage volunteer activity, perhaps, but to make sure that the costs of the mailing are exempt from what would otherwise be the 4-3-1 AD limits. So, you know, I that's an issue that I wish that I had more information from, you know, I guess from the party committees or from anybody else who wants to talk about it, wants to weigh in on it, as to whether this really is a source of bona fide volunteer activity, and whether this is a productive and beneficial thing, or is it just a means to an end where, you know, people are brought in and, you know, there's some discussion of a but-for test. Anytime you have a but-for test, I kind of worry that you start walking down that road and you end up with a situation where the volunteer comes in and gives a water bottle to the driver of the truck, and they say, well, but for the water bottle, the driver of the truck might have passed out from dehydration and not delivered it to the post office, and so therefore it's substantial volunteer activity. And I don't think we want to get to a situation where, you know, you're just bringing the volunteers to kind of bless the mail, and then and that qualifies it. So I think it's a difficult situation, because there may be very strong policy arguments for allowing this activity, but, you know, we do have this problem under the statute that it doesn't appear to have been intended to cover this activity. In fact, the legislative history talks about people handing out flyers in shopping malls and at grocery stores, and there's nothing about mail in there, which makes sense given that the statute specifically says mail's not included. So, you know, what I think I welcome the attempt to try and provide some clarity in what has become perhaps a confusing area for state parties to deal with, and I hope that we are able to do that, to bring some clarity to it. I'm not sure that I would agree with the characterization in the current blue draft that the in the past we've used a but-for test. You know, I take that as meaning, well, effectively it was a but-for test, even though those words were never actually used. You know, and I guess it could be construed that way. I personally didn't see it that way in the past. I also would like some more time to consult with counsel on the notion of an interim enforcement policy, which I think is it's not a policy statement, it's an enforcement policy. This is kind of a new concept for us, and I'd like to have a little bit further opportunity to consult with counsel on that, and I welcome that opportunity. So I don't know whether we're going to formally publish this in the Federal Register or not, but with or without it, I would hope that people who are interested in this topic and know something about it would weigh in and give us their thoughts on it, because I think that could only be helpful.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Where to begin? I guess with the statute. Respectfully disagree with Commissioner Weintraub about what the statute says, that it doesn't include mail. It says it doesn't include direct mail, and the modifier there I think matters, because direct mail is what Best Buy sends out once a week, and everyone gets it, and it's just kind of a grab bag. You know, you throw it out to the world. The sort of mail we're talking about the party committees do, though, is targeted to certain people, and it is based almost exclusively on the voter file. So it's not a commercial list, which is what the regulations say cannot be, and it's not a commercial vendor of the sort that, say, Best Buy or you know, all the other mail that we now seem to all get every day in our mailboxes with coupons and all that kind of thing. So I think mail is something that is contemplated by the statute, and because they included the word direct, that means a certain kind of mail is not included, but other mail is. If you go back to the legislative history, and I actually read it, I brought it with me, I'm not going to read it all, but it's clear that Congress was attempting to get volunteers back involved. There was a concern that the volunteers had died out, and it's amazing the language that they used back in the 70s seems remarkably similar to language they could use today with how campaigns and party committees seem to be a professionals only game, and there's less and less volunteer involvement because there's less and less opportunity for volunteers to involve. So I think this is something Congress has said exists. It's not really up to us to let it fade into the history books. Instead, we need to maintain it as best we can. What is true is that technology has changed some things. Many of the things volunteers used to do are now done by machines, and that really is, one, it's easier for the party, but two, the post office demands it. Much of the bundling and sorting that a party does before mail gets to the post office is done to ensure that it gets delivered in a expeditious manner. If you show up at a postal dock, and I'm not sure if anyone else has had the opportunity to actually drive up to the dock and do this, but when you drive up to the dock, if you don't have the thing bundled, it sort of goes off and just sits there for a week before they deliver it because it sits next to the Best Buy flyers. If you sort it by zip code, it moves a lot faster, and the postmaster will be willing to take it and move it right through and take it to the households. So there is quite a bit of that activity that is now done by machine because, well, everything has become machine. How often do you call anywhere and get a live person anymore? Everything seems to be automated, except, I guess, our microphones that seem to continue to go in and out. So this is something that's important. And where we are now is the commission's had a series of MERS on specific facts that seem to paint a certain picture, and it seemed like the time would be now to provide some concrete guidance so that state and local parties who do not have the benefit of fancy lawyers could at least have a sense of what they can and can't do. If you're a local party chair and you want to do volunteer mail, it's a very simple question. How do I do it and not have to go through 3 years of discovery at the FEC? And I think the commission is still struggling with that sort of answer, which is unfortunate. We can't have a multi-factor balancing test that we do in a MER after the fact. That would be a multi-factor balancing test, that would be used to decide whether or not certain spending was legal. We've seen this movie before, and we know how that movie ends, it doesn't end well when we do that. So I think we need to come up with a standard that allows folks to know at least what they can do, and if they want to be creative and go beyond that and test it, then at least they're doing so at their own risk. But at the end of the day, mail is a very mechanical thing. We're not talking about shades of gray of express advocacy versus implicit advocacy or all the things that tend to get the commission worked up. This is a very mechanical process that us as commissioners ought to be familiar with. After all, the reason why courts defer to agencies is because agencies are supposed to be experts. So being experts, we ought to understand that how state parties do mail is a rather fixed process. You start with a blank piece of paper, and then you develop content. Then you print that on a lot of different pieces of paper. And then you need to put addresses on the pieces of paper. And then you need to put postage. And you need to take it to the post office. And you need to then probably sign at the post office because you're probably using a nonprofit postal rate, your indicia, and then off it goes. So there are very definitive steps in the process of how to do a mail piece. The question is how much of that has to be done by volunteers versus how much can be done by a commercial vendor or by a machine. And the MER seemed pretty clear until recently, in full disclosure. The most recent MER, I was recused because I represented the mail consultant who had been deposed and or interviewed three different times in a multi-year investigation over over who did what first and how many and all sorts of details, which in hindsight seem like counting angels on the head of a pin. So to avoid that sort of thing again, and to make sure everyone has the same sheet of music, I'm glad to see that there is a desire to do something. That MER I referenced, there was a statement of reasons about a year ago where commissioners said there would be guidance. It's now a year later, there still is no guidance, but yet primary elections are coming and going, and we're now in the general election season, so state and local parties will begin to do this. But I must say, you unfortunately have to do it at your own risk, because to me, it seems that it is precisely what it ought not be, which seems to be a subjective balancing test that the commission will not undertake until, well, we know all the facts. But I think in this case, we can skip all that, because I think when it comes to mail, we do know all the facts. Certainly, people can get cute, but we need, I think, an objective test, not one that's based upon a balancing of factors and all this other thing. Certainly, if we have a certain minimum threshold, and then someone doesn't follow that threshold, then there probably will be balancing. That'll be inevitable. But my goal is to give coherent guidance that at least allows a normal person, I'd say of reasonable intelligence, but that's a word that sometimes we can't agree on because of our discussion of Paso the other day. But someone who's a local party person, what's that?
A person of ordinary intelligence.
Ordinary intelligence, sorry. Ordinary. Thank you. A person of ordinary intelligence would know how to do it and not get caught up in a multi-year investigation. Moreover, let's say you're a lawyer, not a specialist in this area, but maybe volunteering for a local party committee, and the party chair says, hey, can you look it up, can you write me a memo so I can know what I can do and can't do, how much do I have to do on volunteers? You can't write a memo as a lawyer that says, well, you maybe can do this and this and this, but I'm not really sure because the commission sort of does this balancing after the fact. We need to do better than that. I think the state and local parties deserve better. I think the fact that this is in the law and Congress says we should do it means the public deserves better. And this is a long and tortured, I agree with Commissioner Weintraub, it's a tortured history, but that doesn't mean we have to keep beating it to death. We could probably ease up and at least come up with a rule. I did some research. I found a brief from a MER from 1989, local Texas committee. Jan Barron filed the brief, and he actually in that brief said if the commission wishes to promulgate further regulations establishing more specific standards consistent with the Act for volunteer activities by state and local parties and setting certain minimums for volunteer hours, that was the issue that back then was how many hours were spent in connection with these activities, then it should do so. If the commission wishes to ordain some particular function which volunteers must perform, then it should do so. And this is 20 years ago, and the commission still hasn't done that. It was urged then. And Jan also made the point that Congress didn't establish any sort of magic minimum, but maybe that is what we need now so as to avoid subjectivity after the fact, because when there's subjectivity, people will not exercise their rights. They will still do the mail. It'll just be an independent expenditure. It'll be pushed further away from the candidate's voice. It'll be more of an independent voice, which, of course, is protected by the First Amendment. But it seems to me the candidate's voice ought to be the central voice in American politics, not independent ads. And finally, this is not going to go away. We need to act. I think we need to act sooner rather than later. 20 years ago, here's someone urging the commission to do something. Since then, Czechoslovakia has managed to break itself in two, right, and managed to have two hockey teams at the Olympics, one of which almost had a medal, and that was the Slovaks, which didn't even have equipment because the Czech Republic took it. So Czechoslovakia managed to split into two countries and actually field both world-class hockey teams. I say that for the staff director, who's a big hockey fan, but yet the commission still can't say with any sort of certainty how much volunteer involvement is enough for a mail piece. So I hope, Mr. Chairman, we can consider this sooner rather than later. It's kind of been outed that the draft originally was mine, and there's been some changes. Happy to continue to work on that so long as it's an objective standard. But from my point of view, we need to do this sooner rather than later, because it's March of an election year. Primaries are going to start happening. People are going to start doing mail. They need to know. We can't move the goalpost after they kick the football. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? I would agree that I hope that we can resolve this before further republics throughout the world start to split. So I would our next open meeting, we've got a little bit of a gap between this meeting and our next open meeting will be on April 15th. That will give us time. And when we come back, I would hope that we can have something that does provide that objective line that Commissioner McGann spoke about that could garner consensus support from the commission. Commissioner Walther.
Thank you. I'd also mention that the Soviet Union is disassembled, too.
I don't want to bring it up. For some, it's a sore point.
Now they can't even be in the top three for medals, so look what happened. But I take to heart what Commissioner McGann said, because I think the last few times that we've addressed the issue, we've been concerned, a number of us, about how it appears to be eroded to the point where it appears that there's very little one has to do in order to qualify for the exemption. On the other hand, you have to go through a slug of MERS to try and figure out, even in the best of times, how to comply. So my thought would be to support the concept of trying to come up with some guideposts that we can tell people to consider, and maybe we can actually come up with an actual bright line test or completely objective test that doesn't take a lot of debate on the part of the commissioners. I sympathize with the, being from Nevada, and there's a lot of small little parties out there trying to figure out what to do, and they don't have ways to try and figure out how to comply unless you call, back east. And so if there is a way that we can do this, I think we should try and do it. But I think we have different philosophies about how robust that ought to be, I think, and that might prevent us from trying to complete what would be the equivalent of a rulemaking. But I am willing to consider trying to distill where we are now, whether we like it or not, so that people have some guidance based upon the MERS that exist and articulate it so that it can be better understood. So I think the attempt that Commissioner McGann started is great. We did commit, as he mentioned a year ago, to do something, and it's taken this long to even have this discussion in open session. So I hope we can put it together.
Thank you. Anything further? If not, Mr. Palmer, are there any management and administrative matters that need to be discussed?
Mr. Chairman, not at this time.
All right. Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned. Commissioner Hunter.
Sorry, point of personal.
Gavel didn't come down, so you're still.
I still made it in. Point of personal privilege. We'd all like to extend a special happy birthday wish to our chairman, Matt Peterson. Today is his 40th birthday.
I can barely remember my 40th birthday.
Yeah, and if I may mention, I got a birthday card today that when you open it up, I don't know if you'll be able to hear this, but
the mics don't work.
I don't know if you can hear this. It basically, when you open it up, it says, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." So maybe we can adopt that as the new slogan for the commission. So thank you, Commissioner Hunter.
Happy birthday.
All right, thank you. The meeting is adjourned.